According to the schedule, assuming that Pal Talk allows me to stay, I will be here for the next 90 minutes. What I'm going to be doing for the first hour is the guiding light, which I started last week, looking at the book of John in the Bible, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And then after that, after the first hour, for the next 30 minutes, I will go into prayer circle. So we've moved prayer circle so that it now follows the guiding light, which means on Wednesday afternoons, starting at 2 p.m. Eastern time until 3:30 Eastern time, I will be here. So hopefully you can join me each week. I think I'll start by playing a song. I love to play a song, sort of as a prayer in order to get centered. And the song that I selected today, yeah, not Guiding Light, the soap opera. The song that I selected today jumped right out at me because for the last 2.5 days here in Pueblo, it has been extremely windy. And this song is an oldie but a goodie, Blowing in the Wind by Peter, Paul, and Mary. So here we go.
How many roads must a man walk down before they call him a man? How many seas must a white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? How many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. How many years must a mountain exist before it is washed to the sea? How many years can some people exist before they're allowed to be free? How many times can a man turn his head and pretend that he just doesn't see? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. How many times must a man look up before he can see the sky? How many ears must one man have before he can hear people cry? How many deaths will it take till he knows that too many people have died? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
So during the song, I did get kicked out of Pal Talk again. So I guess if that happens over the next hour and a half while I'm here, you can just trust that as soon as I can get back, I will be back. last week, I read John 1, verses 1 to 2. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And we talked about how the Word is an utterance, an expression, or an idea. You know, again, people often ask, how did that first idea ever occur? And there are stories like A Course in Miracles, Tiny Mad Idea Story. But I think this is one of those questions that cannot be answered, A, and B, need not be answered. I think that if we're asking the question, how did this original thought, this original utterance that started the whole thing, how did it come about? We're just hanging out in our intellects. We're looking for an intellectual question, an intellectual answer out of intellectual curiosity. And even if we could get the answer, I'm not certain that it would serve us. What does serve us is any answer that can enhance our spiritual practice now. So finding out how the very first utterance occurred isn't really important. But noticing, here's where the rubber meets the road, as they say. Noticing that utterances are occurring all of the time now, that these ideas are showing up in the mind now, that thoughts are occurring now, and that we are either getting engrossed in them now or not, that's what matters. You know, for example, in our news today, of course, we've had in the news just repeatedly since last Friday, the 13th of November, the attacks in France. And, of course, there's a lot of really related activities happening. One of the related activities is, I think it's 50% of the American governors has said that they will not accept Syrian refugees because they're afraid that there will be a terrorist infiltrating their ranks and that we'll let terrorists into America if we let Syrian refugees in. All of these thoughts are utterances. All of these thoughts and all of the others are all utterances. And when we're watching the news or talking to friends about current events, we may have a great temptation to believe something. You know, for example, I can A, believe, yeah, it's really unsafe right now to let these Syrian refugees in. Or I can believe, oh my gosh, haven't we learned anything from the World War II when we, you know, we're racist against Japanese Americans and we put them in camps? Or I could believe something else. All of these thoughts are utterances. All of these thoughts have to do with the appearance that is in the world today. And by believing any of these utterances, those appearances continue through my participation. So our challenge as spiritual students, what I call students of true spirituality, our challenge is to understand divine law and to understand, remember what we talked about last week, to understand that our awareness is not mere human awareness. It is divine and it is creative. And if I cast my attention onto these utterances that have to do with division and conflict and defense and fear and blame and all of that kind of stuff, I presently, right now, and participating in continuing just those types of appearances in the world. So the best way for a spiritual student to practice this teaching from John 1, 1 and 2 is to practice not casting my attention, not casting my awareness along with my belief and my passion on any utterance that does not reflect truth on any utterance. So in other words, didn't we learn anything from World War II? And let's not let the Syrians in now. Although they appear to be opposite opinions, they're actually both false utterances. And so I do not want to join on either side. You see how that works? So here we go. We're going to see if we can get a little further than just verses 1 and 2 today. So starting at the top of John chapter 1 in the Bible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. So I'm going to change the Bible just a little bit, because of course the translations of the Bible that we have assume that the Word is this person called Jesus, and that's why it refers to the Word as Him. But as I mentioned last week, when I chose to let go of what I've always been taught and be completely empty and ask within for clarity, I saw that the Word means utterance, expression, or idea. It has nothing to do with a hymn, right? So I'm going to change this a little bit, looking at verse 3. Instead of through Him all things were made, I'm going to say through it all things are made. Again, we also don't need to worry about the history. We want to look at right now. So through it, through utterance, all things are made. Only utterance by itself can't really do anything. You know, if an idea comes into the mind and it is given absolutely no attention, zero, it is completely impotent. It cannot do a thing. An idea by itself has no power. Where the power comes from is the divine awareness being engrossed in that idea. The divine awareness itself is life. And in fact, let me share with you all something that I teach from time to time, usually in person. I like to teach it at retreats. I don't teach it as much on Pow Talk, but I will teach it now. I teach what I call the four principles of God, and some of you are familiar with this. And I'm going to use the board as if it is a flip chart. So the four principles of God. Oops, except that this is why I don't do it. It's harder for me to type than it is to write on a flip chart. So I'm going to teach you all about the four principles of God and how that fits with these verses that we're looking at right now. Now, what I call the first principle of God, and this is just my language, by the way. It's just language that I made up, because when I saw this through contemplation, it had no language attached to it at all. And so because it had no language attached to it at all, if I wanted to communicate what I realized, I needed to, in effect, make up a language. And that's what I did. So I made up this thing called the Four Principles of God. I made up the language in order to try and share what it was that I realized through contemplation. Now, the first principle of God is most often called the Source, the Absolute, the Supreme, and Jesus called it Abba, the Father. This is the first principle of God. The first principle of God is the foundation for everything. That's why it's called the Source, right? It is the foundation for everything, which means everything that is built upon this foundation. And what the first principle of God is life, or I often call it isness. It is pure, unmanifest, powerful life. The Tao Te Ching refers to it as darkness or mystery. But it's pure, powerful, potent. It's potent, not impotent, like utterance. Utterance, I said, by itself is impotent. This is potent, the opposite, right? This is potent, potent life. And that is the first principle of God. The second principle of God is what I call awareness. Some people actually use different words, but I call this awareness. Awareness combined with with the source, with the life, offers the ability for something to happen. This awareness is awareness that has nothing to be aware of. This is not the type of awareness that you and I are experiencing right now, which is subject-object awareness. For example, this apparent me, Regina, can look into the room and I can see like Joanne and Nikki and Carrie and Jackie and, you know, Maria and Ken and Rebecca, et cetera, Lynn. I can see you guys in the room. That would be a subject being aware of an object. This type of awareness does not include subject-object in it. This is what you would call pure potential. So at the first principle of God, we have potent life. At the second principle of God, we have awareness with potential. And you might think of this awareness as like at night when you're completely asleep in what they call deep sleep. There's no dreaming happening, nothing like that. It seems like you are unconscious. We would often call that unconscious because we think of consciousness as subject-object, or we think of awareness as subject-object. But there's no subject-object there, so it's kind of black, right? It's kind of, it seems like there's nothing there. But there is awareness there. And the way that you know there's awareness there is because if an alarm goes off, you wake up. Or if there's a loud, unexpected noise, you wake up. Or maybe if somebody whispers in your ear, you wake up. Or if a baby makes a noise in the other room, you wake up. Or if the dog jumps off the bed, you wake up, right? So even though you aren't aware in the way we are right now, why we're, quote, awake in the world, and by awake I mean not sleeping, that type of awake, although you're not aware in this way, subject-object awareness, there's still awareness there, because if there wasn't awareness there, nothing could pull you out of that sleep, right? So that's what I mean by there's the potential in the second principle of God. There's the potential for life to form as something, to be called out of the darkness, to be called out of the source mystery, and to form as something. Other people would also call this awareness intelligence. Right? They might also call this awareness intelligence. And in fact, you cannot separate awareness, intelligence, life from each other. So I'm going to hyphenate it as one word, awareness, intelligence, life. This is what you have at the second principle God. It's just completely ready for something to happen. Now the third principle of God, is what I call consciousness. And it's helpful if you think of consciousness as a container or as a screen. In fact, Ramana Maharshi and many other teachers often talked about consciousness as the screen that that the projection of the movie of life is projected upon, right? The movie of life would have all of the people and all of the happenings, you know, everything that happened in France last Friday and everything that's happening in the world today is projected upon the screen of consciousness. Or I often think of consciousness as a container, like a crystal ball. And everything in manifestation is happening inside of that container, inside of that crystal ball. Consciousness, when consciousness is created, when consciousness exists, consciousness now takes that potential and gives it like a canvas that it can act upon. Now that we have, you know, you could think of the first and second principle to God, first and second principle of God is like an artist completely ready to paint. Completely ready to birth all of these wonderful paintings. And consciousness is the canvas that now really makes that possible, right? And that's the third principle of God. And another thing that comes with the third principle of God is divine law. So now that we have this canvas, we also have this divine law, which again means this pure potential for things to appear, manifestation. We have everything we need. And then the divine law takes this awareness and this consciousness and this life, combines it with an idea, an utterance, and poof, you have the fourth principle of God, which is everything in manifestation. And everything in manifestation includes not only like this table and this body, it also includes thoughts, it includes emotions. All of these things are manifestations. All right, let me turn back to the Bible now and show you how these four principles of God fit with what's being said starting in verse 3. Verse 3 says, through it, through idea, through utterance, through expression, right? Through it, all things were made. So if there was not divine law with ideas, there would not be any manifestation at all. So through it, all things were made. Without it, nothing was made that has been made. That's verse 3, talking about the utterance. But now listen to verse 4. In it was life. In it was life. So remember, the source, the first principle of God, is potent life. The second principle of God is the awareness, the intelligence, combined with potent life. The third principle of God is the container, the screen, the canvas, combined with the brush and paint, which is divine law. And the fourth principle of God is manifestation itself. But the second principle of God and the third principle of God and the fourth principle of God all come from the first principle of God. That's why it's called the source. Therefore, since the source is life, life is a part of the second principle of God, life is in the third principle of God, and life is in everything in the fourth principle of God, which means everything, including this table, this body, and thoughts and emotions are really made up of light, life, source, God. And I probably talked about this last week. It's as if we had Play-Doh and we use that Play-Doh to create an entire world. And although we may have wars going on and we may have lovers falling in love and we have doggies going on walks, enjoying sunny days, right? We have all of these things happening. It's all still Play-Doh. Since the first principle of God is life, life is in everything. And another word for life is light. Light is in everything. And many of you have heard the story about when I had the experience of being an apple, when my awareness shifted into the apple, and I was the apple instead of being a person for a temporary period of time. And if you've heard that story, you remember that it was still a story of the fourth principle of God. It was still in manifestation. It was not prior to manifestation. And I know this because there was form, you know, but all of the form was made of light. This is what I saw as an apple. All of the form was made of light. And not only that, I knew that all of the light was intelligent, living awareness. So like within me, the apple, there was what I would call compressed light. And this compressed light that made up me, the apple, was living, intelligent awareness. And while I was an apple, my daughter, Jasmine, took a bite out of me. And when her teeth came and intersected with the apple, the teeth was light, intelligent, awareness, interacting with me, the apple, which is also light, intelligent awareness. And it was like a celebration of like with like. And we could call it God with God, although there was no concept of God in any of this. So what the Bible is telling us here is this. The Bible is telling us that we had in the beginning of, you know, what we call creation, the creation of the universe, in the beginning, there was an utterance. And this utterance was with God, which we would call, again, potent life awareness intelligence, right? And in fact, it came from God, so you would also have to say it was God. And when this utterance combines with what we would call a divine awareness, right, something was made. And through this collision, this creative collision of awareness with ideas, this is how manifestation comes to be. But regardless of what it appears to be, even if it appears to be people blowing up other people and shooting at other people, right? It's actually all still light. It's all still light. It can't be anything but God. It can't be anything but life, awareness, intelligence, because it came from life, awareness, intelligence. So let me read this to you again and see if you hear that in these first four verses, and then we'll look at the fifth verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It was with God in the beginning. Through it, all things are made. Without it, nothing is made that has been made. In it is life. And that life is the light of men. That's the first four verses of the book of John. The first four verses. So let's listen to verse 5 now, because verse 5 is really important. Verse 5 says, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Do you know what the darkness is? The darkness is the belief that the appearance is real. So the darkness includes the belief that I am this body. The darkness includes the belief that I am my thoughts. It includes the belief that you are your body, and that you are your actions, and that you are your words, right? And I can judge you by them because that's what you are. And it certainly includes the belief that ISIS or the politicians are those bodies. They are their words. They are their actions. And we can judge them by what they say and do, right? All of this is darkness. And what's really funny about this is that all of this darkness is misperception only. Because what we are looking at and judging as real is an appearance made from light, an appearance made from God. So we are overlooking the truth or denying the truth and clinging to falsehood. And as we cling to falsehood, we are believing, casting our divine awareness on and believing the continued utterances of falsehood, and falsehood continues to be manifest. So this is the game that we play. And this is why we're here gathered together in this room right now. We are here to realize this more and more and more and more deeply. So that when the utterances come into our mind as what appears to be our thoughts, we have the wisdom not to cast our attention on them. Because we understand that we are creative. Our awareness is creative. And that what we cast our attention on with belief and passion becomes manifest in some way. And we are now operating from the heart, which means we no longer want to be a part of the manifestation of falsehood. So we start making different choices moment to moment to moment. And this is what true spirituality is all about, right? This is what true spirituality is all about. And with that, it actually feels like it's time for a song. So let me see if I can locate a song that might be nice. Well, here's a nice song. This song is called, Everlasting Arms, and it's by Mike Scott. So let's just listen to the song while we contemplate this divine law and our part in it today. Our part in it today. Okay, not yesterday, not tomorrow, but right here, right now.
Lord, hold me in your everlasting arms and fold me in your everlasting arms. Let striving cease, that I may come to rest in perfect peace, renewed and truly blessed. Lord, bathe me in your everlasting light. Lord, raise me in your everlasting light. Awake my mind that I may understand and come to find the truth of who I am. Silvery bell, a bird rose on the breeze, then swooped as if to say, you too may fly with ease. Lord, lift me in your ever home swiftly in your everlasting love. I'll go to where your temple stands upon a hill. In silence there, I'll wait upon your will. Lord, lift me in your everlasting love. In your everlasting arms, everlasting arms, everlasting arms, in your everlasting arms.
Right, so I noticed that Lynn asked a question. Lynn said, so this is about God's relationship to the script, or is it God's relationship to his son? The answer is actually both. And of course, people use words differently. So people use the word God differently, and people use the word his son differently. So let me just clarify the way I like to use the words. The first principle of God, the source, the Father, I do not call that God. And the reason I do not call that God is because all four principles are God. So I call the first principle God, the second principle God, the third principle God, and the fourth principle God. and that is to emphasize that they're all source, that the source runs through all of them. So I do not call just one of the principles God. But if we reword the question, is this the source's relationship to the script, or is it the source's relationship to his son? The answer is still both. Again, the word son, people use that differently. Like some people think of the son as the body. I call the second principle of God the son. So the first principle of God, potent life, has what I would call one direct creation. And that direct creation is the second principle of God, which is awareness. And then together, through them, all other things come into being, including consciousness, divine law, and manifestation. And in fact, let me skip ahead in John just a little bit in answer to this question. I'm going to read a very, very famous scripture. If you've ever been a Christian at all in your lifetime, you have probably heard this scripture. It's one of the most famous scriptures quoted among Christians. It's John 3:16. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Now, most people, again, think this son is Jesus, and they think that this scripture is referring to the fact that God had Jesus crucified as a sacrifice and atonement for our sins. Right? That's the story. But again, when I read the book of John in order to allow a new interpretation to come to me, I had to let go of everything I had been taught. So I had to read this sentence with the true thought, I have no idea what this means, you know, and then allow clarity to come in. So when I did that, here is how I understood the sentence. We could say for life so loves the world that it gives its one and only Son, pure awareness, to the world as well. So in other words, when the world was created and darkness began to reign, darkness meaning ignorance, darkness meaning belief in appearance as real. When the world was created and darkness began to reign, awareness was not withdrawn from the world. It remains. It was not taken away. It remains. And because awareness is here as what I am, also as what this table is, as what an apple is, as what the wind is, as what the flower is, because awareness is here as everything, I can always, 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 in any moment, realize awareness as truth. It's always here. It's always available to be realized. It is not something I have to go and seek or search out. I just have to learn to look differently. So, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, awareness, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Perishing would be to continue to believe, you know, to the death, that I am this person, Regina, because this person, Regina, is only a temporary manifestation. And when this temporary manifestation comes to an end, if I believe I'm it, there's a death that occurs, because I think that the temporary consciousness of Regina, which is just a made up thing that I call it the thinking mind often, I think that's what I am and that's going to end. And so there's like this death type of experience. This, I don't know what that looks like, but I certainly can't continue to identify with Regina, because Regina doesn't continue to exist, right? So there's a death. There's a breaking apart somehow of that identification with this temporary manifestation. But, and I'll say and. If I come to realize myself and all things as awareness, awareness has no end. And because awareness has no end, I then realize myself as that which is eternal. And this is called having eternal life. So, Len's question, is this about God's relationship to the script? Yes, in that this is about how we, as divine awareness, cast our attention on ideas and create manifestation. So the answer to that question is yes. She also asked, is this about God's relationship to his son? Yes, because this is about the fact that everything is awareness. That awareness is present right here, right now, as everything. And we can realize it at any moment. And then we realize that we are it, right? That we are it. Even the false self is made up of it. We are so much it, we could never have been separated from it for an instant. So the answer to both questions is yes. So again, starting at the top. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. The light shines in the darkness, in the appearance. The light is right here in every appearance. Everything is awareness, life, intelligence. Everything is awareness, life, intelligence. But because we believe ourselves to be these people, we do not see that everything is life, awareness, intelligence. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. That sets the stage for the entire book of John. And now the story begins, starting with verse 6. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. And for those of you who are not really familiar with the Bible, this is referring to John the Baptist. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. And of course, the general interpretation that most of us were taught in Sunday school is that Jesus was the light, the one and only Son of God, and that John was here to testify that Jesus was the one and only Son of God. But when I allowed this to be reinterpreted for me, what I saw is that John was much like I am now, in what I would say in this current state of spiritual progression. John was a being who had progressed enough spiritually that he no longer fully believed the appearance. And because he no longer fully believed the appearance, he could talk about truth. He could talk about truth. And in fact, I'm sure that when John stood on the banks of the Jordan River and opened his mouth, he had not planned his talks any more than I planned these talks. Because he was so open to truth, when he opened his mouth, truth just came pouring out. And probably just as I learned from myself, he learned from himself, right? So he was aware of the light, but the reason this says that he himself was not the light was because there were still what we would call obstacles to love's presence in his mind. although he was free of some belief in the appearance, at the same time he still had some belief in the appearance. He was like somewhere along the way in the journey. And one of the ways that we know this is when you look at the Bible, there's the story of King Herod. And I don't know what you guys know about King Herod, but King Herod married his brother's wife. Now, probably the brother had to divorce her first, but it doesn't say that in the Bible. But then he married her. And under Jewish law, that was a sin. And remember, John and Jesus were both raised Jewish, so they would know Jewish law. And whenever King Herod would come by with his wife, Herodia, John would go off on this tirade of accusing them to be sinners. So you see, he was still caught up to some degree in his conditioning as a Jewish man in that time. And there were certain things that triggered that conditioning. And when that conditioning was triggered, he went all the way back into believing the darkness and acting from the thoughts that come into the mind from the darkness, from ignorance. Went fully into casting his divine awareness onto those ideas as if they were true and just forgot the truth. So John was kind of in this in-between place that maybe every one of us are, where he had this great, honest clarity that came to him through his love of the light, and he could recognize truth, but at the same time, he would slip into darkness or slip into ignorance. And so that's John the Baptist. And what I read in some books, and I don't know this for a fact, this was never anything that Holy Spirit revealed to me, but what I read in some books is that at that time, prior to Jesus showing up on the scene, John the Baptist was the most famous spiritual teacher outside of the traditional teachers in Israel at the time. So John the Baptist had a lot of attention because he did have a lot of clarity. And of course, since we are all the light, regardless of, you know, of how much we believe the appearance, we also can recognize the light because there's something in us that says, yes, yes, right? Something in us that confirms. So when John spoke from the light, people recognized that and they crowded around him. And so John was a very famous teacher. But again, a very famous teacher who was not, for lack of better words, completely healed or completely awake. He would lapse back into believing the appearance when certain triggers came about, right? So that's verses 6-9. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. And again, the true light would be free of all misperceptions and all conditioning that would cause it to lapse back into darkness, right? It would be completely free to realize the truth at all times. And this is what I call awake. Now, I had an interesting discussion with Lynn yesterday. She uses the word awake too, and we do not use the word awake in the same way. So that's sometimes important when you're listening to people to realize that people use the same words differently. Just like I said, the word God gets used differently or son gets used differently. So I have to tell you, here's how I use this word. But when I use the word awake, I mean the darkness has been cleared away to such a degree that there are no more lapses into ignorance. There's a, you know, the Course might call this true perception, right? At the very least, true perception, where there's a constant awareness of God, a constant awareness that everything is life, awareness, intelligence, a constant awareness of true self, and that everything is true self, and no ability anymore to fall away from that. And that would be what is being called the true light here. And that, of course, is what Jesus is going to represent when he comes into the story. And in fact, he's coming into the story very soon, as I continue with verse 10. Oh, let me start with verse 9, because 9 jumps off of 10. So let me read 9 again. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him, right? So awareness, which is what we all are and what this world is always here. Now, of course, if we think of the light as only this man, Jesus, well, then the light is no longer here in the world, at least not in a manifest form, right? But if we realize that everything is the light is always here. You know, using time, the light was here before a man named Jesus, and the light was here during the man named Jesus, and the light is here after the man named Jesus. The light is completely constant, completely consistent. It is never not here. So it is in the world, and the world is made through it, because awareness casting its attention on ideas is what creates the world. But the world does not recognize the awareness. You guys have heard the saying, it's like a fish looking for water. If you never understood that saying, that a person looking for God is like a fish looking for water, well, maybe you understand it now. If every single thing is made up of this life, awareness, intelligence, and we're looking for it, it's just like a fish looking for water, right? He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. And so what this is saying is that when we come to recognize the light, recognize the life, awareness, intelligence, as all that is here, right? Then we remember ourselves as the second principle of God, as well as the first principle of God, as well as the third principle of God, as well as the fourth principle of God, because the truth is we can't separate ourselves from any of it. We come to remember ourselves as that, and in that way, we are, quote, born of God, which Jesus is going to call in John chapter 3, being born again of the Spirit. Born again of the Spirit. So, awareness is all that there is. And by awareness, I mean life, awareness, intelligence, hyphenated, which we can call God, right? Life, awareness, intelligence, God. God is all that there is. God is all that we are. But because we believe the utterances, we forget that. We think that the darkness is real, meaning that the manifestation is the truth. We don't see that it's made up of what we are, God. And we're totally lost without being lost at all, because we are still right here as God in God. And this is what the Course means when it says that we are still in heaven. It's kind of like looking at a white world through a dark gray pair of glasses and thinking you're looking at a dark gray world. And of course, what we need to do is remove the glasses. And that, again, is what the book of John is all about.